Blog Talk Radio.
So much, but I am Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome to Jaguar Zone. We are right here about to start being weekly. Special edition here tonight. The holiday kind of threw us off a little bit here at Impact Media. We will be on Monday nights, usually around 7 or so. We will let you know if it's not 7. But regardless, we're going to start being weekly. We'd love to hear from you guys. Obviously, if you want to be part of the show, you can click on the link that is out there right now. Or you can call 347-826-7448. We would love to hear from you. Just want to go over some things tonight. I'm going to go over the 53-man roster. Going to tell you a little bit about the last preseason game. Going to tell you how we're going to beat Carolina on Sunday. And talk about a little bit of sad stuff. And at the same time, some happy stuff as well. But, you know, just for the sake of it, and just for you, Brett, and obviously Jason as well. We're going to play that one more time, and when we come back from, it's not really a break, but when we come back on the other side of the fight song, we will jump right into this thing. Not sure what the dog growl is on the end of that, but it's really cool. Obviously, like I said, this is Jaguar Zone. We're going to start being weekly again. We're finally out of the off season. We're finally out of the preseason. We're going to start the season now. You guys excited? I'm super excited. Can't wait to see the game. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with? Yeah, let's start with the roster was cut down to 53 just the other day. I'm gonna let you know all the people that were not on the list. There was a lot of good players here. It's, sometimes you're just odd man out. If there's, you know, 8 wide receivers, they typically keep 5 to 6 on any roster. So, you know, unfortunately, especially if you didn't get a chance to get a lot of reps because a lot of new guys are in here, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys coming back from injuries. Sometimes you just don't get a chance, or you didn't get a chance. Now there's always practice squad, other things like that. But let's start with, there were cornerbacks, Rashad Reynolds and Peyton Thomas. Wide receivers, Tony Washington and Eric Laura. Casey Kloss as well. Offensive guard, Chris Reed. Linebacker, Todd Thomas. Defensive end, Ekpamosa Egbenosin. I think I did pretty well, though. Offensive lineman, Will Corbin. Cap Cappy, you know, defensive end Cap Cappy didn't make it. Quarterback Stephen Morris didn't make it, although as soon as he was cut, within a day or so, he was signed to the Philadelphia Eagles practice squad, I believe. Good for Stephen. We'll see him down the road. Good luck to him. Not saying he couldn't come back. He's done some pretty good things down here. Just, once again, odd man out. You need those 53 roster spots for different things. Obviously, defensive tackle Richard Ash was let go. Defensive end Cameron Beard. Tight end Connor Hamlet. Once again, there's about 6 or 7 tight ends that were in camp. You're probably going to keep 3 on the main roster, maybe 1 on the practice squad. So odd man out sometimes. It happens. Which left us with 4 spots to account for. Well, Saturday they released linebacker Jeremiah George, safety Craig Lofton, and offensive lineman Austin Pastor. All three of those guys did play with the Jaguars last season. We wish them the best in their future endeavors. Not saying they couldn't come back, just for now they didn't make the 53. But since they've already been in camp, since they've already played games for them, there's a good chance that if they needed a safety, a linebacker, or an offensive lineman, those would be some of the quickest calls, as long as they're not on other rosters, because you already know the system, you've already been here for a little while. That's less time I have to invest in teaching you the scheme. You already know it. And then also, they placed defensive tackle Ziggy Hood on injured reserve. So, there is one active spot left on the 53-man roster. At this given point, I basically cut it down to 52. And why did I cut it down to 52? Because the sack master, at least the one in Jacksonville, Cindric Marks, is officially active and on the 53-man roster. As we got three people in here to clap for, but honestly, there's only three people. So, hey, Cindric Marks, glad to have you back, buddy. It's really going to help this team a lot. In a way, you kind of took over as one of the real leaders of the defense. People like having you around, and as soon as that third round pick gets healthy, there's going to be a beast of a defensive line down there. But you did pretty well without him last year. Let's see what happens. I do think he's Cindric's probably going to lead the Jaguars in sacks again. And, I look forward to seeing him down there. I'm going to actually say that it may be a tackle for loss. It depends on if they define Cam as a runner or as a quarterback when it happens. But I'm going to say Cindric is going to meet Cam Newton and let him know how big of a fan he is of his. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. I'm going to say either as a sack or a tackle for loss. That it ain't gonna be a great hit, but either way, as long as it counts, it counts. But ultimately, that puts us to our 53-man roster. And of course, I don't know if they moved it back to 8 or if it's 10 still, but I do know that the Jaguars signed 8 people, including a couple I just named a few seconds ago, to the practice squad. The way the practice squad works, or the way it all works, is once you're cut down to 53, all the rosters freeze. Anybody who is not on active roster becomes a free agent. While you're a free agent, teams are allowed to sign, I believe, up to 8 players to a practice squad. Now, when you're on the practice squad, you are not exclusive to the people who are on your practice squad. You're typically the scout squad, pretty much, during practice and stuff like that. You may study the opponent team and then try to mimic them during practice. But, like, let's say Tony Washington, out of Appalachian State, wide receiver. He was just one of the people I named that were did not make the 53. He was one of the 8 signed to the practice squad. Obviously, Tony would be practicing with the team as part of the practice squad. Like I said, mostly scout team, so he may try to mimic Devin Funchess so that the Jaguars would kind of know his tendencies and that kind of thing. Now, at the same time, Tony can be signed, even though he's getting a paycheck from the Jaguars, he's getting to practice with the Jaguars at the Jaguars facility. Any of the other 31 could sign him to the main roster, as well as the Jaguars could sign him to the main roster at any given time. So if they wanted to make him active for this game, knock on wood, let's hope there's no injury, but let's say they needed Tony for this weekend's game, they could sign him, make him active, and he gets to play. Now, I believe signing him to the main roster changes things a little bit. I don't know about going back and forth. It's not quite like hockey where you can have two-way contracts and just go back and forth all the time. But, for Tony Washington, the other 7 I'm about to name here, getting a lot of press here, Tony. Good luck. That's pretty much how the practice squad works, is when you're on there, you can be signed by any of the 32 teams at any given time. You're like in between a free agent and being signed to a roster. You're kind of in between, kind of a weird limbo spot. But the other 7, of course, are Peyton Thomas, who was a defensive back out of San Jose State, Todd Thomas, or that was Peyton Thompson, Todd Thomas is a linebacker out of Pittsburgh. Neil Sterling is a wide receiver out of Monmouth, New Jersey. Chris Reed is an offensive lineman out of Minnesota State. Mankato. Of course, Craig Lawson is a defensive back from Louisiana State. Notre Dame tight end Ben Koyak. And Richard Ash, the defensive lineman from Western Michigan, would be your eight that were signed to the practice squad. All of these eight have been with the organization before the roster reductions. So they've been here before. They signed guys they like. They just can't keep everybody. You're only allowed to keep 53. So, unfortunately, sometimes things happen. But, once again, wish the best of luck to those guys. And we're going to move on. I'm going to move on. That was a pretty cool sound effect that I did not do. Apparently, my computer is haunted. That's great. Hopefully, they're a friendly ghost. Anyway, moving on. Just wanted to say a few quick notes about the Jaguars' victory in the final preseason game, 17-16 over Washington. And I know you're going to say Washington is not exactly top-tier level in the NFL. I agree. I actually think that depending on what Marcus Mariota does for Tennessee, that between Tennessee and Washington will be fighting over number one pick next year. That's just my opinion. But I will also say this. Washington played a lot of their starters. Washington played a lot of their twos and threes. The Jaguars played a lot of their twos, threes, fours, fives. You know, we got to see a lot of people off the roster, including pretty much Chris Smith, who is the defensive end slash Leo position currently until some Derek Marks comes back, I believe, was the only starter who actually played, the official starter who actually played. Of course, Stephen Morris. And Tony Washington hooked up a few times for some good plays. Morris to Washington for forty yards set up. Running back Corey Grant's 40-yard touchdown run. Morris threw to Walters for a touchdown as well. Cary Grant was the player of the game, and Jason Myers kicked a 47-yard field goal for the game-winning points. Why do I mention Jason Myers? Because he's the Jaguars kicker. A title previously held by one Josh Scobie, which will bring us to our kind of sad spot. Not, it's sad and happy at the same time. We know the Jaguars this year are maybe not in playoff mode. You never know. Things can happen. Really could happen. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, as far as expectations, you know, we're just looking to improve from this year. So this gives Josh Scobie, in the last year of the contract he's currently in, the chance to play for a potential playoff team. He's quite good at kicking cold weather with crazy wind. Pittsburgh's a good spot for that. You know, they did trade Scobie to Pittsburgh for a sixth-round pick. Now, teams were after Jason Myers and Josh Scobie, but the best deal was from Pittsburgh for this sixth-round pick. So, and you go with the younger Myers, who gets to kind of grow with this younger, emerging team. It's just kind of business, and it's an unfortunate part of business. And, you know, I don't just report on the Jaguars. You know, I'm a fan just like you guys are. It does suck. It really does suck to see one of your favorite players. I mean, even back before I was a big Jaguars fan, I was always a Josh Scobie fan. He's just one of the good guys, the real good guys, super golfer. It's just kind of crazy that between him and, Mr. Dvorak, who is no longer Jackson DeVille, you kind of lose two legends there at the same time. But not saying Scobie couldn't come back. We're just going to throw that out there. You know, once again, knock on wood, barring any kind of injury or anything like that, Scobie could always come back. And besides, we all know as soon as Scobie hangs it up, he's probably going in the Ring of Honor. He's going into the Jaguars Hall of Fame is the best kicker they may have. I mean, definitely the best so far, for obvious reasons. But we wish the best to Scobie. But it'll be fun to see him Thursday night. Hope all you guys tune in to watch the kickoff game there. Get to see him kick against the Patriots. So, I guess in closing, as far as that, good luck, Josh Scobie. You'll be missed in Jacksonville, but I don't think you'll ever be forgotten. You're a super guy. Look forward to seeing you walk in the streets of Duval during breaks and after the season, obviously, because you'll be up there. But good luck to you. A few other things I wanted to get to. I'm going to end on a really positive note, among these other things I'm about to say. Owner Shad Khan is seeking a long-term London deal. Before you jump up and down about that one, he wants to play pretty much every year, play a game in London, the way he's been doing so far, pretty much every year through 2030. I don't know. It makes me a little curious why he would want to sign such a long-term deal to play once a year for that long. That's a long time. I mean, you gotta think, for 2015, that's 15 years from now. For the next 15 years, he wants to play like 13 games in 15 years. It's something like that. I don't know. If I hear anything, if anything crosses my desk or I even hear a whisper, I would obviously be on top of it and let you guys know. And I don't think this has anything to do with moving the team, but it's just curious to me. And I know Shad likes to move the brand because, I mean, even the Bold City Brigade have got chapters, I think, all the way to England and Australia, all the way around the globe pretty much. There's probably one in Hawaii. If there's not Hawaii, you got to get on this. You got to get a chapter going. But, I mean, I wouldn't think, don't think too seriously about him moving the team to London or anything like this, but it's just, I don't, I guess I would like to hear from him, and I'm going to do a little more digging on this too, because I haven't heard anything in a few days. But it's just, I don't know, it makes me curious about playing there once a year, because that means you lose a home game. That's one less game that all you guys in Jacksonville and the surrounding areas, it makes it harder for you to go to. And I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose to keep games away from you, but I don't know, just, I don't know, the radar kind of pops up a second. So, like I said, I'll keep you guys abreast of everything. We'll see what happens with that. But at the same time, to kind of counteract that, he also wants to add a new indoor practice facility, which would be located right outside the south end zone area. You know how Jacksonville weather is. It's just like Atlanta weather. It's just like Dallas, Texas weather. It's don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. Storm blows in here, wind, rain here. 10 minutes later, it's gone. Then it's back again. Then it's gone again. It's, Mother Nature loves to mess with us all. But he wants to do this indoor facility. I haven't heard the exact numbers. I don't know if it's going to be $30 million to build it, or if $30 million of the total cost will be split between Khan and the team for the most part. Because I know he's wanting to pretty much fund this with the team and himself, the same way the Rams owner is trying to build a stadium by himself, which he will probably get done. And this training camp, or this would be done by training camp of 2016, which is next year. So they would have about 8 or 9 months to complete this, which is going to make parking kind of interesting, but it's okay. We all have different ways to get to the game. It's just interesting. The long-term London deal and then building the indoor facility. So that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't invest $30 million of your own money and the team's money. If you plan on moving the team. And like I said, I don't think he plans on moving the team, at least in the foreseeable future. And then, of course, the last thing I want to get to, it was announced, which should be, it's probably the worst kept secret in Jacksonville. We all knew this, and it's no shot to Toby Gerhart, it's no shot to Denard Robinson, it's no shot to anybody really. But TJ Yeldon was named the starting running back in seriously the easiest decision they probably made of the entire 53-man roster. Yeldon is just a natural running back. Gerhart once he gets some reps and gets healthy, he'll be able to add a lot more the way and get back to where he used to play. And Denard's only been playing running back for a handful of years, where T.J. Yeldon's probably been doing it since he was six. He's just Denard's got to get his legs under him and get that vision, because he used to being a quarterback. It's a different kind of vision. But wish the best to all of them, and congratulations, T.J. Yeldon. I believe I've grabbed you in a couple fantasy leagues. But fantasy's just fun to me. I don't get caught up. And definitely, if you see players, don't mention fantasy to them unless you're in a league with them. It's just kind of not really rude, but it's just a game. Have fun with it. Cheer for your team. Cheer as loud as you can. Did want to mention, I haven't mentioned. Didn't want to mention the game against the Panthers, the kickoff game. That'll be Sunday, September 13th. That'll be this Sunday, 2015, at 1 p.m. Of course, that's going to be at the bank. You guys know where the bank's at. I'm not talking about the place. Well, I guess this is a place you do go and put money in and get something of value in return. So, I mean, it's very much, but Everbank Field, obviously. If it's a 1 p.m. kickoff, definitely try to get there by no later than 12:20, 12:30. You want to make sure to see all the pre-game festivities. You want to see what the new Jackson's up to, obviously. And then if you want to get there super early, probably, I guess, 9:30, 10-ish, they probably might get started before then. At the corner of Bryan and Duval, I believe, you will see the Teal Street Hooligans and the Bold City Brigade, big friends of ours. You'll see one of the best tailgate parties there. Obviously, if you have a tailgate and you're listening to me, and I did not just mention your tailgate group, let us know. Obviously, also, if you're a local Jacksonville band and you would like to either submit a song for us to use for the Jaguars' own theme song, or if you would like to write one, contact us here at the show at Team Impact Media on Twitter. If you want to find me at the Impact 99, we're on Facebook. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. Just look for Impact Media or Jaguar Zone. You can get this podcast anywhere you normally get podcasts, the TuneIn app on your phone. We're at iTunes. And if you want to just email the show at 3endzone or 3endzone@gmail.com. We will do our best to get to it. And we're going to try to do some contests this year. So, definitely let us know how you're listening, where you're listening, and what you like about it, what you don't. Shout out to all our friends out there in Duval and Jaguar World. I'm going to give you three ways before we get out of here. Because I just. Three ways that we can beat the Panthers. First of all, they are wide receiver poor at this point. A couple of their big guys are dinged up. One of them is going to be out for the rest of the year. That helps. The easiest way is for Cedric Marks and the defensive line to get after, put pressure on Cam Newton. I'm not talking about 300 sacks. 300 sacks would be nice. That'd be really fun. But at the same time, just get enough pressure to force him to stay in the pocket. Even though he's a good pocket passer, but if he starts scrambling around, that's when he can make plays. Same thing with Russell Wilson. But you got to put pressure on him, force him to make quick throws. Don't let him set his feet. Keep him off balance. Second way that you're going to beat the Panthers, you have to establish the run game so that Bortles can start throwing the ball to Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. You throw a T.J. Yeldon, come out of the backfield. The run will set up the pass game. And then the other way you're going to beat the Panthers, you have to beat them on special teams. Panthers have always had a pretty good special teams. They don't always lead the league. I don't know that they ever have led the league, but they're not at the bottom of the league either. You've got to be able to stop them when you kick off to them, and you've got to be able to make plays and get, need to average 15 or 20 yards per kickoff and need to average, between 10 and 15 would be nice on a punt. I know obviously you're not going to be able to do that, but those are going to be my three keys to this game. Establish a run game. You have to win the special teams battle, and put the defensive line has to put pressure on Cam Newton. If you do those three things, I think the Jaguars have as good a shot as anybody to beat the Panthers. I don't think this is as lopsided as people think. I don't know if I had to put a score on it. Man, Cam's going to score. That's the hardest part. 27-24. I'll say 27-24 is going to be the final score, with the Jaguars picking up the victory in that. And that's going to do it for me. To do it for us, actually. Appreciate you dropping by Jaguar Zone, obviously presented by Impact Media right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just told you all the places you can find us. I get that sound effect again. Must be time to go. And we'll fire up the band one last time to lead us out of here. We'll see you guys next week. Obviously, like I said, we will be on Mondays right around 7 o'clock. We will know for sure either later in the weekend or by Monday. So we will let you guys know. But for Impact Media, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week.